Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny's, the law firm Condori and Murat. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction, helping you to draft your will, setting up a revocable trust, or creating a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. We're live in Richmond for the next 3 hours, AM 910, FM 1051. Of course, you can listen to us wherever you are on the Odyssey app. We are live all over the DMV on 106.7 The Fan. All of our camp coverage today presented by Paul Henry's Windows. Speaking of that camp coverage, let's talk about preseason game number 2. Our buddy Ben Standing of The Athletic was in Miami to watch the Commanders practice with the Dolphins. He is coming back this way to D.C. He will not be in the preseason game tomorrow. But a lot of insight, I think, can be provided on where this team is headed toward cutdown day. With Ben now. Ben, thanks for the time on G&D. How you been?
Grant, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
You got
yes, sir.
So why don't we start with Jahan Dotson? Greg Rosenthal is not out there like you are. He's not around the team. I understand that. But he works at NFL Media, and he just tweeted a little bit ago, the more Commanders coaches talk about Jahan Dotson, the more I think he may not be on Washington's Week 1 roster. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I guess my first reaction, just to be a snarky reporter, is that when people from the outside who aren't here say things like that, what they really mean is what the reaction from the local reporters are saying about the coaching situation is what he's reacting to, would be my view, right? But that said, I've been talking about this all week. I think when you start to do the math, you start listening to what Dan Quinn's been saying, that there's, you know, that Jahan played, you know, 32 snaps in that game last week, and that he, when I asked about that a couple days later, he didn't say, "Hey, we love Jahan. We just wanted to get him some extra work." Nope, he just said, "We're still looking at guys." And then when the question was sort of repeated yesterday, he's like, "Yeah, we're kind of in the middle of a competition," and I think it's getting pretty telling about what, based on what they are saying, when we've had similar conversations about where things going with Kamen Davis or Emmanuel Forbes, the other recent first-round picks. Regardless of what we on the outside might think, they are saying positive. They're working hard. They're doing what they need to do. We'll see what happens. That wasn't the case here. This was like competition. It didn't say anything specifically about Dotson. So if Jahan is not one of the top three receivers on this team, you know, in terms of what their plan would be, I don't know how he's going to stick around, because he's not a special teams guy. He's obviously too small to really help in coverage in tackling or anything like that, blocking. And then, is he the returner? I don't know, but even if he were be, I would think, like, his trade value as a guy on a rookie contract with 2 years left would be more appealing than that. So I think it's getting pretty interesting. If he doesn't get things going as far as what the coaches want to see, I don't think it's inconceivable that they move on from him. I don't think they would cut him or anything, but I think it's at least a possibility, which, by the way, lines up with the whole idea of that they've said from the start, there's competition, and it doesn't seem like there's any, you know, the people who were here before are not being viewed as sacred cows. They weren't the guys that Peters and Quinn drafted, signed, et cetera, and therefore, I think it's anything is conceivable.
We're going to talk about this later, Ben, but among the receivers, I think we'd all agree, assuming health, Terry McLaurin gets the most targets in that receiver room, rightly so. Who's the second most targeted wideout? Last year, I think it was Dotson was a couple targets ahead of Logan Thomas, for example, behind Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel's gone, so is Logan Thomas. Among the receivers, not tight ends or running backs, what wideout gets the second most targets?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's the question that we're sort of asking here, right? And I was discussing with some people earlier today, like, what is the notion of this wide receiver two competition? What do we mean by that? You know, you could look at a production and just say who's the second most productive receiver, but I would argue it's more like who is the receiver that is getting the most work, right? Last year, Jahan Dotson played over 900 snaps. Curtis Samuel played less than 600. Curtis Samuel was the better receiver last year, but that's not how they were being. That's not what their roles were. I think the thing that's weird here is, like, look, I think Zacchaeus is, but I think he looked pretty sharp in camp myself. But he's 5'8". He's not. You can't run everything you would want with a guy like that. And I don't know that, like, he's going to be a full time two. Let's just say if he were to beat out Dotson. But then you have Deombe Brown, who obviously it's been 3 years of underwhelming performance. He's got that blazing speed, but it's kind of a one-trick pony. So there's like a combination between those two, should they be ahead of Dotson, that I don't know, honestly, in all fairness, like who I would guess would be the most targeted. But it's sort of, if Dotson isn't going to be the guy, then it does sort of put, like, they may have some hard workers at the position, but there's not an obvious guy. I would maybe guess Zacchaeus, just because he has looked the sharpest and he's had a couple seasons of 30 and 40 catches. But I think it's a great question. I mean, honestly, I think Austin Eckler probably becomes the guy I would peg for number two. I know you said receivers, but and maybe then Zach Ertz over whoever will be left at receiver.
Agreed.
Ben Standing of The Athletic talking Jahan Dotson with us here on Grant and Danny. Maybe it's too strong to say, do they have an issue with Jahan Dotson? But I think you'll understand what I'm trying to get at when I ask this. Is the issue with him currently, with his staff, just like football stuff? Or is there more to it than that? It just seems to me like it's very quick to sour on a guy to the extent that maybe they have. If we're talking about Alameda Zacchaeus and, I don't know, Byron Pringle, like, pushing him.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look, I don't know what goes on. I don't know what's been going on inside the building. I don't have any sense that Jahan is being, a malcontent or anything along those lines, but something does feel off. And I think, we all typically look at this as, like, who are the best 53 players that can get out there and get this job done? I used this analogy earlier. I was, for no unexplained reason, on the flight down here, I was rewatching the movie Miracle for the 86th time. And
USA wins in the end, by the way. Spoiler.
Damn it.
Yep.
Danny's been known to spoil shows for guests, just so you know.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. Well, at least this one I had a sense of what happened. When the part where they're picking the roster for, the 26 guys are going to try out and whittle it down. They're like, wait, what do you mean, Herb Brooks? How have you already figured this out? You left off some of the best players off this shorter roster. And he's like, I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the right players. And my point here would be, part of what I think this is all about for this team has been the makeup of this roster is it isn't about getting the quote-unquote best players right this minute. It's getting the players who are going to help set the tone going forward for what they want this team to be. That's why you bring in specific vets like a Bobby Wagner. That's why they targeted a bunch of team captains among their draft picks. So, if they're looking for a certain type of mentality, then maybe if Jahan is not that guy for them, then that may be a good reason why they would move on as much as anything else. I mean, we know he's not the most physical of receivers already just based on his size, but, it's not like Mike Sanders still is an imposing tower out there in corner, but he's known for his physicality. And, I think Zacchaeus seems to be giving a little bit more of that edge as well, even though he's, 5'8" and so on. So, I don't think it's like a poor, there's some like locker room disconnect, but he just may not be connecting with them in terms of how they want to shape this franchise going forward. So if he doesn't get going, in a way that they find acceptable, then yeah, I could see this thing ending.
Ben Standing with us here on G&D. Last one, what would a trade look like?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I mean, like, on the one hand, you'd be like, well, look, I mean, what he hasn't done enough, but he's got 2 years left in his rookie deal. He's still a really good route runner, right? And maybe on another team, in another situation, that isn't looking to establish a culture and identity because they already have one from being around for a bit, that maybe there's another team that would be willing to give up, a middle round pick or something. Again, it's not like he's without talent or anything. I just, at the moment, it seems like maybe it's a poor fit for what these guys want. Again, that's assuming that this is the case. Dan Quinn knows what he is saying. He is now twice this week, when given the chance to, praise Jahan, defend Jahan, he has not done that. And I don't get the sense that these guys have been fibbing with us. Like, they may not always tell us everything, but I don't get the sense that they're saying one thing but really don't mean it. They're just trying to, say it. So maybe they're trying to push buttons, but it does feel like something's off. So I don't know. I would think there's a chance you get like a middle round pick because of the fact he has 2 years left on his rookie deal. That's pretty cost affordable. And again, he's not a bad player. He can run routes, but it, for whatever reason, it just may not fit here.
Do we know already, Ben, who isn't going tomorrow? Or do you have a pretty good feel of several guys? I'm sure Brandon Coleman's not playing, who I want to see. We know about two of the quarterbacks being out. Anybody else?
I don't know. I mean, like last week, obviously they sat a bunch of guys, but Quinn said, the John Allens, the Bobby Wagners who didn't play last week, that they would play this week. But it sounds like that might be a series two at max. And I kind of get the feeling that with the offense with Jaden as well, like it's not going to be terribly long. They're factoring in the reps they get in the joint practice with the game reps. So I think we'll see the starters and probably see most of the guys, except for anybody who's banged up, like you said, like a Coleman. But I don't know how. I don't think we're going to see these guys too long out there.
Johnny Newton, is he in?
I don't believe he's in. We haven't seen him, unless I missed it yesterday. I don't believe he was involved then. And Quinn has said, they're trying to, rest him up. They've said there hasn't been a setback from his return from the foot procedure, but at the same point, he has been limited, to say the least, since then. It also sounds like, Martavis Bryant was out there a little bit yesterday, that they're picking their spots with him since he obviously just arrived and they're not trying to do too much, but we may see him, I would imagine, as well tomorrow.
So what does that mean for Newton's early season? I mean, I guess I'm sure they're still saying, oh, he's on track, but when you don't play in the first couple of preseason games, you wouldn't think, maybe they could make a special case and have him play next Sunday against the Patriots, but does that kind of put his delay the clock a little bit on his rookie year?
It could. I mean, obviously he's got to get out here at some point. I don't know where he's at with conditioning, but he basically hasn't done almost anything going back to the spring in the way that we would view conditioning. Right. So, yeah, I think that's got to be a consideration. And again, I think for these guys, I don't think they're they're going to do everything they can to put the best product on the field. But at the same time, the urgency in terms of like they have to win is, I think, different for this team in this recalibration, as Dan Quinn would say, versus if they were, a not more obvious playoff Super Bowl contender. So, hopefully this is not a Curtis Samuel situation where we keep getting told that it's nothing to see here. And then all of a sudden guy misses, most of the season. So I'll take them at their word that it's just being cautious and patient. And, he did have two surgeries one on each foot since January. So it was reasonable to think that could take some time, but hopefully it's nothing that big of a deal. Even if the first, couple of weeks he's inactive, that it's just a matter of time before he gets in there.
One other obligatory in-out question looking ahead to next week. Jaden Daniels, Drake May could be fun Sunday night at the Artist, formerly known as FedEx Field. Do we know if they're going to play Jaden in that final preseason game, or will he be on ice by then?
I can't say we know, but if they're going to be limited with him this week, I can't imagine he's playing next week, right? I mean, last week was the one series, in part because they were down their top three tackles. This week they do have Lucas and Wiley back, so that's arguably their week one lineup out there. So if they're going to still play him less, or not going to play him a full amount this week, then that's saying, hey, our plan is we've seen a lot where he's getting good work in these joint practices, and that's enough. So, yes, it would be fun, but at the moment, I would guess that's not going to happen.
All right, and then rapid fire, just a couple roster things. I know it's tough right now, but best guesses. Is the kicker going to be Riley Patterson or not on the roster yet?
I've been on the not on the roster yet train for a bit. He did have a better day yesterday, I thought, and they said they wanted to have just the one kicker to help him get into a rhythm. Perhaps that happens. I mean, he is at least, he has experience. He's played in the league the last couple of years. So possibly, but I guess we'll see who gets cut. And, you know, with some of these teams having two kickers in camp, I think it's probably still reasonable to think the week one kicker isn't here. But hey, if Patterson, you know, is looking sharper in this game and over the coming practices, maybe he does, stay.
Third running back, Chris Rodriguez, Jeremy McNichols, or Michael Wiley?
Well, if it was me, it would be Wiley, because I just think, you know, Rodriguez has just seemed like he's kind of, my interpretation is he's kind of fallen out of favor a bit. I've been surprised he has not been involved in the kick return situation, since it felt like, you know, that made sort of an obvious fit based on the new rules. McNichols, you know, I think other people around the beat seem to think he's got the inside track as the third guy, and I did put him on my 53, but honestly, I don't quite get it. I mean, he's a guy who, you know, he hasn't had a touch in a couple of years. He's a guy like him is available all the time, right? They had Derek Gore last year, similar guy on the practice squad. That said, if there's a world where they're like, hey, for our running backs, we want experienced guys there to help with blocking. Should they have to be in there with Jaden Daniels? We don't want a kid that's as green like a Wiley, perhaps, because we don't want to risk that. Okay, then maybe there's something there. So I would say Wiley based on the options you gave, but I'm guessing they may be leaning towards McNichols.
And then assuming they keep the five, like, clear-cut top five receivers, McLaurin, Dotson, Zaccheaus, McCaffrey, the third-round pick, and De'Ami Brown, maybe there's a spot for one more wideout. Crowder, Bryson Tremaine, Mitchell Tinsley, Kaz Allen, Byron Pringle, Martavis Bryant, whoever else. Who's the last receiver in if they keep six?
Yeah, so you look, I mean, Bryson Tremaine's had a really good camp. He gives them size, but he's not the fastest guy. And then I think the Martavis Bryant signing says to me that maybe they don't know if Tremaine is that guy, because we are still talking about another tall receiver. Bryant's obviously a superior athlete, even at the older age and all that, but I'm a little more worried about Tremaine following that signing. I think Tinsley's probably been an under-discussed player. You know, he made the team last year. They then chose to not really use him at all, but he made the team. He's had some really good moments in camp as well, and I think he's got a shot. I think what it probably comes down to is, do they feel that the last receiver has got to go to whoever the person will be that's going to be on kicks, whether that's Pringle or Kaz Allen, something like that? Does it go to somebody with size, or do they decide, hey, we're just going to only go with the five, have a couple other guys on practice squad, and figure out the rest? So I don't think I've gave you a direct answer, because I think I'm a little more confused following the Bryant signing. So I had Tremaine, but I'm a little less enthused about his prospects right now after that Bryant signing.
Let's go to the secondary real quick. Tyler Owens, I thought, flashed a couple times. We've heard some good buzz about Dominic Hampton and company. Maybe that safety / kind of hybrid spots. How does that shake out, and what are we seeing tomorrow?
Yeah, I've had like six guys sort of feeling pretty confident, had them locked in, and now Tyler Owens has shown up. And every time we see him at practice, in games, he seems to step up. Dan Quinn highlighted his special teams work last week. I saw a play yesterday where he was like the first guy down the field as well. So I don't want to say the undrafted free agent off of one preseason game is like a lock to make the team, but I think it's feeling better and better that he does, in which case it comes down to, do you want to keep seven safeties? And like you said, maybe a couple guys like Hampton can help you out in other ways. Or is this where, similar to Dotson, they're like, hey, I know this guy's been on the team before and played some, but maybe it's just, you know, we're moving in a different direction. We want to go with the younger guys, not somebody who's got 1 year left in their contract, like a Derek Forrest or something like that. So I think safety is a really interesting spot. I asked Dan Quinn yesterday about this. He said that was a group that he's really liked this summer. So if they're just keeping the best 53, maybe they all stay, but if they're only going to keep six safeties, then, you know, there could be a surprising name that goes there.
I feel like seven safeties would be unprecedented, right? I mean, I've never heard of anything like that. That's pretty weird, no?
Well, yeah. I mean, plus, like, in my head, I've got them keeping six corners. So even 12 defensive backs is a lot. Again, in this modern era of football where obviously you're going against teams that are passing all the time and guys can play multiple spots, it makes sense. I think the way I'm looking at this for them is, it isn't about the more conventional, who do we need to keep to do certain things. It's more of who are the best players we have and we'll figure out the rest. They have talked so much about that. They're not using the PF phrase that drove us all crazy, but they're talking about versatility. What can guys do? And I think that's in part because they may find themselves in this position of keeping more in a certain position that you would think conventionally they would, but what else can they do with these players if that happens?
PF Flyers, I believe, was the phrase. Benny the Jet Rodriguez style. That or position flex, one or the other. Ben, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you as always. Safe travels back here to D.C., and we will catch up with you soon.
See you, bro.
Awesome, man. Thanks, guys.
Ben Standing of The Athletic, who's been in Miami at the joint practices preseason game tomorrow night. Commanders-Dolphins. We'll get back into that in just a little bit. Again, all of our coverage of the Commanders throughout camp in the preseason is brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Next, an audio vault. Danny, the web has been scoured.
Ooh.
Darius and I hard at work putting together an audio vault that Danny and our listeners could enjoy. It comes your way next.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny taking you up to 6:10 tonight. Welcome back to The Fan. We've got winning off the field because it's Friday coming your way at 3:45. Nats got smacked around last night by the Phillies. I was thinking about this after the game. Which opponent do you hate the Nats losing to the most at this point? I think the Phillies might be the answer for me. The Braves have had a bad enough year that I don't think that would get under my skin. The Phillies are front runners in the National League East and maybe in the NL to get to the World Series. And when they beat you, it's Bryce Harper and Trey Turner and Kyle Schwarber.
Yep. JT Realmuto should have already been here.
They just played the Orioles. There's a regional rivalry there that makes that a possible answer. But I think the Phillies is my answer right now. The team that I am most annoyed losing.
It's either them or the Mets, because the Mets lose to everybody else.
Mets is a good one.
And beat the brakes off the Nationals. That's really annoying. But yeah, it's probably the Phillies, I would say. Especially because they've been knocking on the door of a World Series. They've been really, really close. And them getting one would not feel very good.
News yesterday out of the NBA, by the way. NBA teams are not going to play the day before or the day after what is considered a marquee national TV game. I don't know exactly how they're going to differentiate Natty TV games as the really good ones or just normal national TV
games. Right, because the Lakers are on 39 times on national television.
But I actually think this is really smart.
Yes.
Because the whole argument that teams have about resting players and that guys aren't going to be playing every single game because it's too much of an 82-game grind at this point. And the NBA says, when you're on national TV, we need your stars playing for the good of the game. We need eyeballs on these games. Uh-huh. Nobody cares if LeBron's not going. So they've met in the middle here by saying, we'll give you a break on either side of these marquee national matchups.
It's really smart, by the way. Again, I understand if a guy's got something nagging, you don't just do it because it's on TNT, right? If he needs a day of rest because it's a 7-month grind, and then you add a couple months if you're a real contender, probably playing on national television. I don't begrudge that. I actually think it's really smart, kind of, as you said, meet in the middle.
And I think this is less about the nagging injury and more about the, you need to rest one of these games to get through this stretch of seven.
Mm-hmm.
What if we did it that day? They never want it to be that day.
Right.
Rest before, rest after generally means you'll be able to give us what you got for 40 minutes that night. and maybe you even get the best version of your best players.
Right.
So just smart and forethinking, which is a lot of what Silver and the NBA do. All right, it is time for an audio vault. We have put together some of our favorite clips that we've stumbled across on the web. Let's get to it. First of our clips to play for you comes from last night's preseason football game, Eagles-Patriots, New England's telecast on NFL Network. Sideline reporter and local TV guy Steve Burton is on the sideline. So this would be like a, like a Scott Abraham on the sideline doing an interview. And he's talking to Ramondre Stevenson, the Patriots running back. And for some reason, I don't know if he has a brain fart and he forgets Matthew Judon's name. I don't know if he's just casual guy and he doesn't think he needs to say the name. I don't know why. This is not what they teach you to do in sideline reporting school. But he just says, hey, that guy that left, what do you think about that? And Stevenson thinks he's talking about Bill Belichick. Answers the question as if he's talking about Belichick.
Oh, no.
When he was just asking about Ramondre Stevenson, which is weird anyway. He was asking about Judon.
Right.
Because Stevenson plays on offense and Judon plays on defense. And
he hadn't seen him in a few weeks.
Why would you ask him about him? But here was the moment. It was so awkward last night.
I got to ask you about the guy who just left. How much are they going to miss him? And who's going to step up in his place?
Mm-hmm. I miss Bill. That was one of my favorite coaches. But, you know, Mayo, he's a great leader. He knows what he's doing with us. And, yeah, I'm excited for Mayo, and I think we can get it done with him.
I wasn't talking about Mayo. I'm talking about your defensive teammate.
Oh, Judon.
He's moving on to better places.
Excited.
At least a different place.
Sure, a different place. Excited for him. I still know he has a couple more years in him, so I'm excited for him.
So another funny thing is the guy then, the sideline reporter, then says he's moving on to better places.
A different place. It's different. Yeah.
And Ramondre Stevenson agrees. He's like, yeah, he is, definitely. It sucks here for sure. That's a great moment.
Ugh.
But this whole thing is so awkward.
That's tough.
And it's definitely clear to me, listening to that again, he just couldn't think of Judon's name. Because he didn't say Judon until after Stevenson said it. He just says, I meant your defensive teammate that got traded. He's like, Matthew Judon?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, Judon. So can someone get in this guy's ear and help him out? Can he? I mean, if you can't remember his name, you just got to table the question.
Yeah, we've all been there. We've had some really embarrassing moments. I know I have, certainly. And you guys like to play the audio every once in a while.
Let's talk.
Exactly.
Judon.
Instead of Channing Poole, whose name we'll never forget now. But you know what I mean? Like, I get that. It's tough in those quick moments. You got to be on, and you've got 30 seconds for the whole deal. So I understand sort of forgetting the name. But by God, was that awkward. That was tough.
So, did he bounce?
Shut up, Danny.
So awkward.
Shut up.
And the thing about it that I think for me just makes it sing is it's Belichick, and his shadow is just cast so big over the whole thing.
Yeah, we're going to miss Bill.
He hasn't been around for months, and he just assumes they're talking about Bill Belichick. Jameis Winston, couple of cuts, always entertaining. Go with his press conference cut first. Not mic'd up Jameis Winston, but Jameis at the podium with a new catchphrase.
I think that's one of the things that a lot of people forget. When you can go out, you can see practice, you can knick-knack this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. Deshaun Watson is going to turn it on. He always going to find a way to shine when the lights come on. Man, I just rhymed. Oh my, can I leave off that one? I know that one's going to hit.
He is so funny. Inadvertently hilarious, mm-hmm. But like even on the back end there, he's like, ooh, I know that was fire. He's like a rapper spitting bars in his mind.
Let me write that down. Knick-knack, paddywhack.
We're like, what? Play that clip again.
A lot of people forget when you can go out, you can see practice, you can knick-knack this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. Deshaun Watson is going to turn it on. He always going to find a way to shine when the lights come on. Man, I just rhymed. Oh my, can I leave off that one? I know that one's going to hit.
Jameis. Mic'd up Jameis is the best. Do you see like the 3 minutes that came out of
it? I saw a couple of that, yeah.
So it was pregame. We don't have to listen to the whole thing. We'll give you a little snippet here to quote our guy Fred Smoot, who was on the show yesterday. He was also hilarious. He's in the Jameis Winston Hall of Fame of saying funny things. But this was mic'd up Winston before the preseason game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Hello.
What's up, sir?
Good to see you.
I like your helmet look. That's a good look.
Thank
you.
I'm into motorcycles, so I'm going for the biker look. Hey, Trey. Welcome to the NFL, man. You gotta love it, right? Let's just be right here where we at. The most important thing is your specific play. Be obsessed with the simplicity of the game. Welcome to the league, boy. Welcome. Let's go, baby.
Go, go.
Let's be obsessed with greatness. Let's be obsessed with energy. Let's be obsessed with the execution of it. Let's go. Yes, sir. Happy to be in your business, in your establishment. Now we teammates. Let's get it, boy.
Hey.
Dominate, boy. You look good. You play good. You feel good, all right? Together. The message is simple. Come on. Be obsessed with your opportunity. All of us that came from wherever we from. Mm-hmm. But we got it right here and we got it right now. Yeah. So be obsessed with your opportunity. I got one thing for y'all, man. Yeah. All right, I just want y'all to help me out because I know we're a team, all right? Uh-huh. I have this in my dream, all right?
Come on.
All right, when I say where my dogs at, y'all say we ready, all right?
Yeah.
Where my dogs at?
We ready.
Right. Where my dogs at?
We ready.
Now, I'm about to spell the Browns out and I know we one team, man, okay? I'm going to spell the Browns. I'm gonna go B-R-O-W-N. You gonna say, let's get it. Yeah. All right, with my B-R-O-W-N. That's it.
Let's get it.
I could listen to Jameis Winston.
So fun.
He is. It's good energy. It's why he's gonna have a gig for another several years. People want him around. He's a likable dude. Now he's had transgressions and issues off
the
field.
Sure, we know, yeah.
I don't want to make light of those, but it just seems like he is a dude. He's a good hang.
Yeah, like it's this infectious positivity. That at first you're like, is this real? Are you doing a bit? But then he doesn't turn it off and it comes through.
Carmelo Anthony said something that I completely disagree with, but want to bounce this off you. So he was asked on some podcast he was doing what his comparison of a gold medal versus a championship finals win would look like. This is how it sounded.
Would you trade your free Olympic gold medals for one NBA ring?
I've never been asked that question. No. When we talk about global sport, for me, a medal means something totally different than an NBA championship. They both have their own separate meanings, but winning a gold medal, it's the passion, it's the pride that you have, not just for a city or a state, for a whole nation, for a whole country, you're winning for it. So it's a different level of, I would say, pride that you have to have when you're wearing USA across your chest or you're wearing Lithuania across your chest, right? It's a totally different feeling than Knicks, New York across your chest.
Three gold medals.
Mm-hmm.
Would you trade one of them for a finals? He's saying, no. I don't believe you. That sounds like a guy who didn't win a title.
I was going to say, like, he knows what it's like to win three gold medals. That's pretty sweet. He was obviously a Hall of Famer for his NBA career.
He's one of the greatest scorers ever. Top 10 scorer all time.
But he was even better internationally. Something about the way the game was and the rhythm and the flow of it and the physicality, it really played to his strengths. He was instrumental in those three gold medals for Team USA. That wasn't just a passenger. He was excellent. And Kevin Durant finally just surpassed him in terms of those four gold medals and Olympic scoring. But it's easy to say, I wouldn't trade it because I got those three gold medals.
We have to take him at his word.
Yeah.
I think some truth serum. You probably would have rather won a championship.
Would have been nice.
I will end it here. Non-sports. This is just fun. Shane Gillis, who's a stand-up comedian.
So funny.
Talking about eating pizza. This is not the thing I sent you. That one we're not playing on.
He's still
air.
Funny.
Yes, he is so funny. I thought you thought it was the thing I sent you. That was very
no,
funny.
I knew the difference. I know. Yeah. I know.
But this is another Shane Gillis clip while I was going down a rabbit hole yesterday. But Gillis talking about eating pizza. We've all been here. This is relatable content, I think. There's a bunch of food shared that's in a pile. If you grab a couple very quickly before, like, everyone's seated and eating dinner, maybe they don't count or nobody's going to keep track of those. You can throw those bones in the trash. They're not on your plate. I like this from Gillis.
I don't even sit down when there's pizza. I go, first slice doesn't count. I picked it up straight out of the box. And I go, all right, now I'm going to settle down. Now I'll get a plate. Put two on it. I'm going to stand for these two. And I'll go, maybe no one saw me get that first one. I can say this is only, I've had three. That's a lot. I've had four.
While everyone's organizing like the soda. Yeah. Such a nice move.
I mean, when it's grub for everyone like that.
Oh, it's feeding.
The greed kicks in.
So relatable for me. Have you ever been there before?
100%.
Like, you eat that first one really fast, and before you're sitting at whatever the table setting is, you're like, doesn't count. That was yesterday.
That is my inner monologue, and that is my move. 100%. I've done that before. No, I do that. That is part of my routine. Whereas everyone else is sort of like, oh, which napkin, or is there a side salad? No time for that. The piece of pizza is already getting wolfed down, and then we can sort of sit down with the conversation. Right. And I hope no one sees it, so there's no like, okay, how many of you had? Do you have three? Do you have four? Do we have enough? I always do that.
For me, if like you're at some kind of setting where there's a big, heaping pile of wings. Mm-hmm. I'll do one or two real quick off the bat, like before the meal is aggressive, but whatever's happening starts. And I'll just throw the bones right in the trash. And it's like they never existed. Next thing you know, oh, everyone's putting three or four on their plate. I'll get three or four on my plate. We've all had three or four, except I already had two. That was relatable.
That's the difference.
Our double play is next. It is Friday, which means we're winning off the field. What little moral victory in your day has made your afternoon better? 800-636-1067. You want to share it with us on Grant and Danny. Each and every day ahead of 4 o'clock, our double play, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. On Fridays, our double play is a little winning off the field segment. We've done this for many, many years, and we got to thank Bruce Allen for that. Mm-hmm. He once said these words.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
What is an off-field win, you ask? Well, can't be important. It can't be significant. It's not the point. That's to win on the field. These are little, teeny, tiny moral victories nobody else would care about. The little accomplishments that make your day better.
So I got myself a Mustang Mach-E GT from my pals at Tebbert Ford, right? It's an electric vehicle, as you know. I didn't need a charge, but it's one of those things where it's like I could probably use one. But I'm fine either way. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Like literally fine. I'm not just saying it's fine, telling you that it's not fine. It's fine. Well, wouldn't you know it, I get to work today and those little charging spots were wide open. I pulled in and I'm charging the car right now. And that's all I got to do. I'm sitting here doing the show and my car is refueling itself based on the building's electricity. I don't pay for that. I don't know who does. Somebody does, but it's not me. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
I don't want to give away the goods for fear that I could ruin this for myself and other people in the future.
Oh.
So I will not.
Okay.
But I will give you a vague description of mine.
Okay.
I had to run in somewhere mm-hmm. in the Navy Yard here area, mm-hmm. surrounding area. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had to run inside, grab something, run right back out to the car. I parked outside on the curb. You know what that's like in D.C.
Yeah, I do.
To park, to leave your car, yep. to go back, to hope, A, that it's still there. That's the key. And B, that it wasn't ticketed, that it's just sitting there for you, like you left it. Because someone's waiting to tow it. You know how this goes.
They love doing that.
I went inside. I said, hey, just out of curiosity, how often do they ticket right out there? I said, oh, out there? They won't ticket you. You leave your car there all day.
What?
I said, really? They said, yeah, I've never seen them ticket one person out there. Now you got to move your car by X time. I said, oh, well, I didn't even pay.
Well, right. I mean, yeah.
The meter. I just ran inside. They said, yeah, they'll never check. This street, they just don't. I said, that can't be true. Took a little longer than I anticipated. Got back out there several minutes later. Nobody bothered me. My car was just sitting there without a ticket.
Would you look at that?
In the nation's capital. The most powerful ticketing city in the world.
Nobody does anything as well as this city does ticketing its residents and visitors. The best.
Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
For some reason, they've just decided that little street's okay. I don't know how or why.
They're not going to check. Not for long. Someone's going to hear it and is going to tell somebody that we need the triple enforcement in this quadrant to make up for it.
I didn't charge my phone overnight. And when that happens, almost always very early the next morning, my phone dies. Mm-hmm. Today, I woke up and I still had about half charge somehow. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
The way the game is played, you
there
see.
There you go, him.
Rich is in Olney. Hello, Rich.
Richard.
What's going on, boys? How you doing today?
Come on.
I got a phone call on Wednesday from my buddy Tony. He runs a Capital Cigar up in Bethesda. And so he says, hey, I got a little... Thank you, Darius. Mm-hmm. So he goes, hey, I'm doing a little cigar and car show up at a restaurant near your spot. You should come on up. A little tough. It's Wednesday. You know, I'm not going to get an earful for that. I get a phone call around 8:30 that night getting ready to lock up my own shop. And my wife goes, I'm actually really, really exhausted. I'm heading to bed early tonight. Just wanted to let you know. Wound up staying out till midnight with no fuss, no muss. Therefore, I was.
Winning off the field.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Is Rich and Olney's ability to do it every once at all times on the weekends infiltrating the middle of the week?
So what... it's not. Here's the thing. There's a sample bias here. Rich isn't calling us on Tuesday to be like, yeah, I was exhausted. I had to do everything the whole day with the kids and the wife. We did this, that, and the other thing. I did everything that was expected of me. He's sharing with us the times that it breaks his way.
Yeah, but he still
there's got to be
it more of those days than anybody I know. Bourbon, yep. Guys around mm-hmm. the grill, Darius at his house.
Yeah, we played golf and then poker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those days, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy. I'm proud. I'm not jealous. But it seems like that's now infiltrating the week as well. Dom's in Ohio. What's up, Dom?
Hey, boys. Thanks, as always, for taking the call.
Hey, Dom.
Firstly, are we sure Rich actually has a wife and family, and this is not just the longest troll job ever? Because I don't know that anybody is actually that lucky.
That's a great question. Darius has been to his barbecue as our show representative a couple of times. Have you met a wife or children?
I have met both a wife and children.
Wow.
They are real people. They exist.
That is the most remarkable thing ever.
Were they Everybody hired actors like Asian Jim, that one episode of The Office?
That part's hard for me to confirm. It is hard for me. But there are lots of pictures. You know, maybe it should be proof, right?
It's possible.
Could be a one-day gig, right? Where it's like, come pull one up. We have a years-long con going.
We need to trick Darius for some reason. Come to my cookout.
Which would only make that so much more amazing.
Not
anyway, two quick ones if you guys will indulge me. One, my eldest daughter started school this week, so we are done with the ever-functioning switching camps. That is cause for rejoice and gratitude. The other is your boy got off work about an hour and a half early today, so I get the pleasure of listening to my favorite radio program live and in living color in my car as I drive home a little bit early. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
That's a good one.
Well, you're also very handsome, and we learned that last year at the fantasy football draft, you sweetheart. We got to get on the fantasy football situation.
I was literally just thinking about that this morning.
I was too. I don't want to be involved as much as I normally am. That's the only issue. Somehow I always have to play point man and get with people, and then all the listeners get mad at me. I'd like to make Darius the bad guy. So, Darius, it's your baby.
Wow.
I can do whatever you need me to do to help you behind the scenes.
Just like that.
But I don't know, man. I mean, it feels like... I am a villain. Like, people are angry at me still because we changed the rules 4 years ago based on what we're told to do by bosses, and somehow I'm the jerk.
Yeah, shtick aside, I know this is like, Darius just got ambushed right there on the air that it's his league now. I will say too much is asked of you of that. I thought that in the past in terms of like, you got to decide on when. You got to call the guy who's like, yeah, you can go to this glory days.
Nobody's making me. It's not like Darius is like, but, Grant, you do this. But it just like...
Yeah, it's fallen to you somehow, and you do everything. And I feel like that's fair that you deserve a break.
So Or here's a better idea. We could put it all on Ryan, too, Darius. He's not here
Doesn't
now.
Doesn't that feel like a Ryan?
He'll be back early next week. Ryan could be the bad guy. We could have Ryan involved. I thought the quiz we did last year was a really good idea. There was a lot of calculations that were... That was a lot of things that happened to figure out who got into the league. We could have a meeting about this. We haven't had a meeting in a while.
Yeah.
We could have a lunch meeting. Yeah. I just don't want to be the face of people not getting into the league anymore.
We can make Darius the bad guy. He's had to play bad cop before.
I don't need to just show up and draft. I don't need to be show up and draft guy. But I'm happy to help. I just don't want to be the bad cop.
As a Madden League commissioner for the past 10 years, I think I'm good at being the bad guy and falling on the sword. So I can do that.
Well, if Darius is in charge, what position did you get last year?
Wait, what do you mean?
What position did you finish in the Madden League? In the fantasy league.
I actually don't even remember.
Well, whoever finished in front of him, if I could just use the punchline here, is getting booted from the league.
Oh, yeah, they're toast.
If you are the commissioner. Uh-huh. We know that.
If he's got to look up in the standings, you're going to have to look for a new league.
Ben in Bethesda, got to be quick, but what you got?
From Bethesda!
Hey, I've been winning my whole life taking that first slice before it even hits the table. But yesterday, early in the morning, my son gets up at 4:30 a.m., I had a terrible day. I could not. He wanted to play all day, three-year-old son. So I'm tired all day. I'm dying. I want to go to bed early. He goes to bed at 8 o'clock. He woke up this morning at 7:30 a.m., which for you youngsters is late. It's still pretty early.
Oh,
but
we know.
For us adults,
yeah, we know.
7:30 is amazing. So therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Look at you, Ben. You and your sleeping in. Good for you. Beltway Blitz comes your way next on Grant and Danny. Jordan Schultz, one of the top newsbreakers this NFL offseason, stops by the show at 5 with the latest on Brandon Ayuk. You're listening to The Fan.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Each and every day ahead of 4 o'clock, our double play, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. On Fridays, our double play is a little winning off the field segment. We've done this for many, many years, and we got to thank Bruce Allen for that. Mm-hmm. He once said these words.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
What is an off-field win, you ask? Well, can't be important. It can't be significant. It's not the point. That's to win on the field. These are little, teeny, tiny moral victories nobody else would care about. The little accomplishments that make your day better.
So I got myself a Mustang Mach-E GT from my pals at Tebbert Ford, right? It's an electric vehicle, as you know. I didn't need a charge, but it's one of those things where it's like, I could probably use one. But I'm fine either way. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Like literally fine. I'm not just saying it's fine, telling you that it's not fine. It's fine. Well, wouldn't you know it, I get to work today and those little charging spots were wide open. I pulled in and I'm charging the car right now. And that's all I got to do. I'm sitting here doing the show and my car is refueling itself based on the building's electricity. I don't pay for that. I don't know who does. Somebody does, but it's not me. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
I don't want to give away the goods for fear that I could ruin this for myself and other people in the future.
Oh.
So I will not.
Okay.
But I will give you a vague description of mine.
Okay.
I had to run in somewhere mm-hmm. in the Navy Yard here, mm-hmm. area, mm-hmm. surrounding area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had to run inside, grab something, run right back out to the car. I parked outside on the curb. You know what that's like in D.C.
Yeah, I do.
To park, to leave your car, yep. to go back, to hope, A, that it's still there. That's the key. And B, that it wasn't ticketed, that it's just sitting there for you, like you left it. Because someone's waiting to tow it. You know how this goes.
They love doing that.
I went inside. I said, hey, just out of curiosity, how often do they ticket right out there? I said, oh, out there? They won't ticket you. You leave your car there all day.
What?
I said, really? They said, yeah, I've never seen them ticket one person out there. Now you got to move your car by X time. I said, oh, well, I didn't even pay.
Well, right. I mean, yeah.
The meter. I just ran inside. They said, yeah, they'll never check. This street, they just don't. I said, that can't be true. Took a little longer than I anticipated. Got back out there several minutes later. Nobody bothered me. My car was just sitting there without a ticket.
Would you look at that?
In the nation's capital. The most powerful ticketing city in the world.
Nobody does anything as well as this city does ticketing its residents and visitors. The best.
Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
For some reason, they've just decided that that little street's okay. I don't know how or why.
They're not going to check. Not for long. Someone's going to hear it and is going to tell somebody that we need the triple enforcement in this quadrant to make up for it.
I didn't charge my phone overnight. And when that happens, almost always very early the next morning, my phone dies.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I woke up and I still had about half charge somehow. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
The way the game is played, you
there
see.
There you go, yeah.
Rich is in Olney. Hello, Rich.
Richard.
What's going on, boys? How you doing today?
Come on.
I got a phone call on Wednesday from my buddy, Tony. He runs a Capital Cigar up in Bethesda. And so he says, hey, I got a little... Thank you, Darius.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, hey, I'm doing a little cigar and car show up at a restaurant near your spot. You should come on up. A little tough. It's Wednesday. You know, I'm not going to get an earful for that. I get a phone call around 8:30 that night getting ready to lock up my own shop. And my wife goes, I'm actually really, really exhausted. I'm heading to bed early tonight. Just wanted to let you know. Wound up staying out till midnight with no fuss, no muss. Therefore, I was.
Winning off the field.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Is Rich Inolni's ability to do it every once at all times on the weekends infiltrating the middle of the week?
So what? It's not. Here's the thing. There's a sample bias here. Rich isn't calling us on Tuesday to be like, yeah, I was exhausted. I had to do everything the whole day with the kids and the wife. And we did this, that, and the other thing. I did everything that was expected of me. He's sharing with us the times that it breaks his way.
Yeah, but he still
there's got to be
it more of those days than anybody I know. Bourbon, yep. Guys around mm-hmm. the grill, Darius at his house.
Yeah, we played golf and then poker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of those days, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy. I'm proud. I'm not jealous. It seems like that's now infiltrating the week as well. Dom's in Ohio. What's up, Dom?
Hey, boys. Thanks, as always, for taking the call.
Hey, Dom.
Firstly, are we sure Rich actually has a wife and family, and this is not just the longest troll job ever? Because I don't know that anybody is actually that lucky.
That's a great question. Darius has been to his barbecue as our show representative a couple of times. Have you met a wife or children?
I have met both a wife and children.
Wow.
They are real people. They exist.
The most remarkable thing ever.
Were they Everybody hired actors like Asian Jim that one episode of The Office?
That part's hard for me to confirm. It is hard for me, but there are lots of pictures. You know, maybe it should be proof, right?
It's possible.
Could be a one-day gig, right? Where it's like, come pull one up. Yeah. We have a years-long con going.
We need to trick Darius for some reason. Come to my cookout.
Which would only make that so much more amazing.
Not
anyway, two quick ones if you guys will indulge me. One, my eldest daughter started school this week, so we are done with the ever-functioning switching camps. That is cause for rejoice and gratitude. The other is your boy got off work about an hour and a half early today, so I get the pleasure of listening to my favorite radio program live and in living color in my car as I drive home a little bit early. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
That's a good one.
Well, you're also very handsome, and we learned that last year at the fantasy football draft, you sweetheart. We got to get on the fantasy football situation.
I was literally just thinking about that this morning.
I was too. I don't want to be involved as much as I normally am. That's the only issue. Somehow I always have to play point man and get with people, and then all the listeners get mad at me. I'd like to make Darius the bad guy. So, Darius, it's your baby.
Wow.
I can do whatever you need me to do to help you behind the scenes.
Just like that.
But I don't know, man. I mean, it feels like... I am a villain. Like, people are angry at me still because we changed the rules 4 years ago based on what we're told to do by bosses, and somehow I'm the jerk.
Yeah, shtick aside, I know this is like, Darius just got ambushed right there on the air that it's his league now. I will say too much is asked of you of that. I thought that in the past in terms of like, you got to decide on when. You got to call the guy who's like, you can go to this glory days.
Nobody's
or whatever.
Making me. It's not like Darius is like, Grant, you do this. But it just like...
Yeah, it's fallen to you somehow, and you do everything. And I feel like that's fair that you deserve a break.
Or here's a better idea. We could put it all on Ryan, too, Darius. He's not here
right
now.
Doesn't that feel like a Ryan?
He'll be back early next week. Ryan could be the bad guy. We could have Ryan involved. I thought the quiz we did last year was a really good idea. There was a lot of calculations that were... That was a lot of things that happened to figure out who got into the league. We could have a meeting about this. We haven't had a meeting in a while.
Yeah.
We could have a lunch meeting. Yeah. I just don't want to be the face of people not getting into the league anymore.
We can make Darius the bad guy. He's had to play bad cop before.
I don't need to just show up and draft. I don't need to be show up and draft guy. But I'm happy to help. I just don't want to be the bad cop.
As a Madden League commissioner for the past 10 years, I think I'm good at being the bad guy and falling on the sword. So I can do that.
Well, if Darius is in charge, what position did you get last year?
Wait, what do you mean?
What position did you finish in the Madden League? In the fantasy league.
I actually don't even remember.
Well, whoever really finished in front of him, if I could just use the punchline here, is getting booted from
league. They're toast.
If you are the commissioner, we know that.
If he's got to look up in the standings, you're going to have to look for a new league.
Ben in Bethesda, got to be quick, but what you got?
From Bethesda!
Hey, I've been winning my whole life taking that first slice before it even hits the table. But yesterday, early in the morning, my son gets up at 4:30 a.m., I had a terrible day. I could not. He wanted to play all day. 3-year-old son. So I'm tired all day. I'm dying. I want to go to bed early. He goes to bed at 8:00. He woke up this morning at 7:30 a.m., which for you youngsters is late. is still pretty early.
Oh,
but
we know.
For us adults,
yeah, we know.
7:30 is amazing. So therefore, I am
winning off the field.
Look at you, Ben. You and your sleeping in. Good for you. Beltway Blitz comes your way next on Grant and Danny. Jordan Schultz, one of the top newsbreakers this NFL offseason, stops by the show at 5 with the latest on Brandon Ayuk. You're listening to The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.